Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
You can grab a teaching outline right on the chair next to you, and that way you'll have the verses and scriptures that you need. I need to mention that there is a typo, and I'll have you fix that as we get a little bit closer. But we're in a big conversation about worship. What you saw here today was children worshiping. They were saying, "For He alone is worthy." And we sang that together. And I think one of the great things about Christmas is even in the malls and wherever you go, people aren't even maybe necessarily aware that they're singing praise to God. But I just love all the Christmas music because so much of it is glorifying the Lord. It's a time to worship the Lord. And worship itself is tied into the Christmas story. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but in Matthew chapter 2, we read this passage about the meaning of Christmas. It says in Matthew 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea," that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, right? "So it was in the days of Herod the king, and behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship.'" They had a purpose to worship Christ. "And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced." They weren't sad. They weren't religious. They weren't formal. They were happy. They were full of life. They had found what they were looking for. And that emotion was in them, and that freedom was in them, and that authentic joy, and they rejoiced with great joy. Let me tell you something about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a great thing, and it should cause great joy for us, because we know that it's through Christ that, and coming into the world and then ultimately dying on the cross for us, that we can be free from our sins and have peace in our lives. This is why it's important. Why would people be happy that a baby is born? This baby's different. I mean, all babies are great, but this one came as the Prince of Peace. And he gave his life in such a wonderful way of love for us. And then didn't stay on the cross. He died and rose again so that all of us could have eternal life. So there's joy there. And then it goes on and says, "When they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down to worship. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented their gifts." Now look, this whole thing of Christmas and Jesus coming is about a central purpose that God had in his mind from the foundations of the earth, to accomplish something in your life that would be so glorious that it would erupt in worship coming from you. I didn't say religion. I didn't say it would cause you to go to church and say Hail Marys and do, you know, Pentecostal rituals or Catholic rituals or Methodist rituals. No, it's about actually meeting Jesus Christ, knowing him, and living a life of worship. Being somebody who says, "I want to be like a wise man. I want to come and worship." So that life of worship is something that we believe in very, very much. And I want us to say, focused on one central thought this morning, and that is that nothing in life compares with the wonder of worshiping Jesus. There is nothing in our life that can compare with that goal of worshiping Jesus. Now, what is worship? A.W. Tozer said, "Worship is to feel in your heart and to express in some appropriate manner." Can we go ahead with the next slide? Yeah, thank you. And then the next one. A.W. Tozer. All right. "Worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner a humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe and astonished wonder and overpowering love in the presence of God." Jack Hayford, I like his definition. He said, "Worship is the pathway and the atmosphere for people to discover their royal calling in Christ, their high destiny in life." Wow. "Their fullest personal worth and their deepest human fulfillment." That's worship. A.P. Gibbs So worship is the overflow of a grateful heart. I love that. Worship is the overflow of a grateful heart under a sense of divine favor. Look, God's not against you. God is not a black cloud on your horizon. He's not in heaven ready to hit the smite button. It's under the sense of divine favor that our hands are lifted. We say, Lord, you're good. You've been good to me. Karen Burton Main said, worship is being preoccupied with God. And I like this. Graham Kendrick, great worship leader. So worship is God's enjoyment of us and our enjoyment of God. It's a pleasure. It's, again, it's not that religious, ritual, formal routine that so many people think of when they think of going to church or worshiping God or what is that. That is, what. However you define worship, it's not that. Worship is life. Worship is true relationship. And worship is wonderful. It's filled with a sense of the wonder of God's presence. Let me share a few thoughts with you this morning to move the needle of your life ever so gently to cause you and I to maybe be that much more of a worshiper, a person in love with God, worshiping Him. First, worship is a wonderful awareness of Jesus. It's really about being aware. It's about paying attention and really, on a personal level, connecting with Jesus Himself. You know, relationships have, we saw this earlier in the service about marriages, you know. I think romantic relationships have sometimes a sadly predictable trajectory. They start off with a lot of attention, a lot of energy, a lot of sizzle, and a tremendous preoccupation with every detail. The man just thinks everything about the woman is wonderful, and the woman thinks everything is great about the man, and they're just into each other, and they're texting each other, and they love each other, and they're just all over each other, Facebooking and putting hearts and little gifts and rose petals on the floor, and it's just like, that's where it starts, you know? Dates and flowers and all of that. And I hope this hasn't happened in your marriage, but it's possible that, like many marriages, after a time, it just left alone, left to itself, it just kind of fades, and then every once in a while, it needs to be revived. It needs to be, you got to dig it up a little bit and get it fresh again. Well, our relationship with Christ can be like that sometimes. I remember when I first got saved, just the wonder of Jesus, you know, just loving Him. And it seemed like I wanted to tell everybody about my faith, and I was just attuned. I was attentive to the Lord. I was in my Bible and always thinking about Him and singing songs and falling to sleep, just singing worship. And it's just 24/7 having Christian radio on and always, but over the course of time, even for people in ministry, you would think we would stay nonstop in love with Jesus, but sometimes ministry can actually keep you so busy that you forget what you're ministering about. And if you're not careful in life and in marriage, the wonder can drain out of it. And you can go to routine and pattern and habit, or if you don't even have good habits holding you in place, you can drift off completely from the Lord. Now that's not what we want. We want to keep the wonder and the awareness in our relationship with God. Worship is about presence. It's about really experiencing who Jesus is and staying like into it, like excited. And when we come to church, it's not that we want people to come in like robots and let us all lift our hands, let us all. We actually want the experience of worship to be that authentic connecting with God, and we got to get our head into the game sometimes. Just like if you're in a marriage right now that's just kind of losing the sizzle, son, you need to get your head in the game. You need to buy some flowers, and you need to like stir it up. Some people say, well, you know, I'm not feeling it. I'm not into this, you know. But if you're married, you better get into it, or you're going to be hurting real soon. And if you're in relationship with the Lord, it's not like we don't want people to fake worship, but You know what? When it's time to worship, don't overthink it. Just worship. Get your heart into it. And it's normal. It's right and good. And the more you focus on what worship is and the awareness of God and his presence in your life, the more you will experience that beauty and that joy, and the feelings and the power of it kind of comes back. Sadly, this is not the case for everyone, this sense of God's presence and awareness of him, this focus on him. In fact, I saw a survey the other day from the Barna Group, which has some stats on this. They do kind of like polls, and this, I was surprised. According to the Barna Research Group, 32% of people have never experienced God's presence in worship. And 44 have not experienced his presence this year. In other words, our sense, our awareness of him, our being into it with him, Lord, I'm really into you, is fading in many people's lives. And I wonder if the first two statistics have anything to do with the third statistic, because that one tells us that only 15% of Christians defined worship as a top priority of their life. I think we need to move this needle, guys. I think we need to say, if worship was a greater priority, we would be more aware of his presence and it would be more real for us. And that's available. God is not far away from us. He wants us. He loves us. He wants to connect with us in a deeper, deeper way. I remember the Gulf War and all the talk that was in the news about Saddam Hussein and does he have weapons of mass destruction, and that was the big, you know, news story. When I think about this statistic, I'm not worried about weapons of mass destruction. I'm worried about weapons of mass distraction that the enemy uses against us to keep us from looking at what's really important in life. We're stressing out about traffic and school and deadlines and reports and jobs and interviews and games and all the things. It's like we're distracted in 1,000 different directions, but when it really comes down to it, are we actually experiencing in life the joy of his presence? I want that in my life. I work at my marriage and I work at my relationship with God. I make time for both things. I put effort into it, and it stays rich for me when I make those things a priority in my life. That's the kind of life that I believe all of us want to lead. Now, there's a verse, Psalm 16, verse 8. And by the way, there's a typo on your sheet, which I apologize for. Just under number one, that first line, you can just cross that out. But look at Psalm 16, verse 8. I am always aware, the psalmist said, I am always aware of the Lord's presence. What a great way to live. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and guess what? Nothing can what? Isn't it reasonable to believe that if we are aware of God's presence in our life, we will be unshakable? I think the reason I get shaken, the reason my knees buckle sometimes at challenges or problems or bad news or whatever is because I've taken my eyes off the nearness and closeness of God. But whenever God is near and I sense that God is near and I'm aware of his presence and I'm paying attention to him like a girlfriend on the first date, when I'm watching him, when I'm into him, the bad stuff just doesn't shake me. I had breakfast, Kathy and I, with a pastor and his wife yesterday morning in Modesto. And we were talking and some bad things that had happened to them and some painful things that had happened to them and some things that people had done to them that were tragic and hurtful. And I remember in that conversation, I think it was her that said that when she got this bad news that came into her life, she began to hurt and shake about it. But right away, the presence of the Lord came very close to her, and she felt that she heard the Lord whisper something. And the Lord said to her, however you respond to this, will determine your destiny for years to come. Isn't it amazing how the choices we make in certain situations can affect our life for many years to come? She got a hold of herself and she said, I'm going to do this God's way. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be bitter. I refuse to be offended. I'm not going to let this blow me out for years. I'm going to keep my heart close to the Lord. And in that, she kept her heart right, and the Lord really began to work in that situation. I want to challenge every one of us to be aware of the nearness of God in our lives. And that when we get bad news or things that would shake us, if we'll cling, now, of course, we're human, we're going to have feelings and all that, but if we'll cling to the Lord closely during the storm, he'll bring us through faithfully. And it's that sense of his nearness that makes a difference. The second thing I want to mention about worship today is that worship is not just an awareness of Jesus, but it's a wonderful response to Jesus. It's not just, hey, Lord, I know you're there, but it's actually sending something back to God. Now, let me challenge you. Psalm 27 says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me, O my people. And my heart responds. Circle that word respond, because I think that's so important to the Lord. In other words, the picture is God is saying to us as his people, come and talk with me. And the right thing that happens next is we say, I hear you, Lord. I'm coming. I'm sending it back to you. I'm connecting with you. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone where they're just, you say hello and they ignore you? Or you try to communicate with someone and it's not coming back in that way? Our ability to respond to God is so important. In other words, he's pouring out love. He's given us the Bible. He's given us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the church. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us gifts. He's given us his promise. He's coming at us with all kinds of love and grace and goodness. And once in a while, we need to send it back to him. And that's called worship. It's responding back to the Lord. It's not robotic religion. It's just saying, God, you've been good to me. It ain't no problem for me to lift my hands. No problem for me to sing. No problem to say, Lord, I love you. Thank you, God. And that's where it becomes a relationship. And worship becomes real. You know, I love my dad. His name is Dan Canestrese. Dan and Sue, my mom and dad, live in Stockton. And he's a little Italian guy. He weighs about, 120 pounds. And he's loud. And, I love him. He's 86. And like many people that are 86, he's losing his hearing. And it's amazing how his hearing loss is affecting our relationship. I love my dad, and he loves me. But something is changing inside his ear, and he's not as sensitive to communication. So I'll call, and he'll pick up, and I'll say, hey, Dad, how's it going? Oh, good, good. Let me get your mother. Because he's not comfortable on the phone. He can't hear, and he gets tired of saying, what was that? What was that? What'd you say? So he's just kind of gotten into the habit of letting mom do the listening and the talking. That's not because he doesn't love me. That's just something that is happening in our relationship as a result of a loss of a certain kind of sensitivity, a certain kind of an ability, which allows connection to take place. I don't want to lose my sensitivity to God. I don't want the Lord to be like, hey, I'd like to say something to you. And I don't want the Lord throwing his hands up going, I'm getting nothing back here. I'm sending love, but I'm hello, Earth, to Kenneth Tracy. Are you there? I want God and me to interact. God wants a response from us. And I think if we see our giving, and if we see our serving, and if we see our prayer, and we see our worship, and our singing, and our lifting of our hands, and whatever we do for the Lord, if we see our loving our wife and loving our neighbor, if we see that as a response back to God, we're throwing something back at Him. And He's saying, I feel you. I feel your love. That's what I want. That's the way I want to relate to the Lord. I don't want to lose my responsiveness to the Lord. The third piece of this is about enjoyment. Worship is, first of all, a wonderful awareness of God, and then it's a wonderful response to God. But third, worship is a wonderful enjoyment of Jesus. I want to tell you a story about the Oval Office in just a minute. But I was thinking about this morning early, and I have to tell you something about Kathy and I. Kathy and I met when I was 14 and she was 16, and she's been madly in love with me ever since she first laid eyes on me. It's been amazing, and no, I've loved her. And so we ended up getting married. I was 20. No one stopped us, and we've been very, very happy. But in those years before we were married, there were two times that we actually broke up. All right, and one time she broke up with me, which was outrageous. And the other time I broke up with her, which was absolutely the right thing to do. It was perfectly justified. That's the way I remember it. And you know, you go through those times, and it's a sad time, you know, to break up with someone that you love, to be separated from someone that you love, and it could be very painful, disorienting. You may not understand the reasons. You don't get it. It doesn't make sense to you. And both of us, you know, during both of those times, were upset. During one of those times, I can remember very clearly back at Church of the Crossroads, 1136 Miramonte Avenue, Mountain View, California, 95057. I was the radio announcer at that time. During one of our breakups, we had a prayer chapel. It was a very special place. We have a prayer room here, but this was a chapel. I mean, it was really a great room, and we all would go in there and pray. And one day, my heart was broken. We had broken up, and I went into the prayer chapel, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I couldn't make sentences. Like, I was feeling a lot, but I didn't know how to push it out in the form of a sentence to God. Like, what do I say to God? I'm just like broken, you know. Sometimes there's no words. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, can I just be in your presence right now without saying stuff? Can I just be in your presence? And I just felt the Lord and his wonderful nearness, his closeness. And it can go beyond words. It can go to a depth of, we don't have to talk about this. I can just sit with you. I can just sense your nearness. And it just ministered life and hope for me. The Lord gave us our relationship back. And as I said, Kathy's been totally thrilled every day since then. It's been like a parade. It's been like a carnival for her. You should see us. We're totally happy, and every single minute. And no, I love this woman right here. But I tell you, it's in those moments of being in God's presence that God can redirect you and guide you and show you what to do and show you that there is life after a tragedy. I wish I could say to you that nothing bad will ever happen to any Christian. Or that you're so special that nothing ever bad will happen to you. What I can say is that if you focus on the Lord, whether in good times or in bad times, your sense of God's nearness will keep you from losing your mind. And God will keep you steady, and he will make it turn out right. And you will never lose that sense of his closeness. Worship is so enjoyable. Now let me share the story and then we're going to pray together, and we're going to worship, and I'll be watching you to make sure you're actually worshiping. Not really. This is an excerpt of a story called Hailing the Chief. He drew near the window in the Oval Office waiting. Even though there was a stack of letters to sign, a cable to read, a press conference to prepare for, a briefing, and a cabinet meeting ahead, he smiled. Yes, there was a lot to do, but first, some important people were coming, some very important people. He kept inviting them to come to the Oval Office and talk with him. He longed to talk to them about their hopes and dreams, their failures and their fears, their needs and their goals. And today was the time they were coming. "Mr. President," said a voice on the intercom, "they're here, sir." "Ah," he said, "send in the first one, please." He leaned forward on the edge of his chair, waiting. The door opened and a housewife ushered herself into the room. Without seeing the president's smile or his outstretched hand, she plopped down in the chair, squeezed her eyes tightly closed, and said the following: "Dear Mr. President, thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, sir, for everything. Goodbye." And before the president could say a word in response, the woman opened her eyes, stood up, and walked out the door. He sighed. "What just happened?" Pushed his intercom button and said, "Is there someone else out there?" And they sent the next person in. The door opened, and in came a stout man wearing a tuxedo. The president put out his hand, but his hand was ignored. And the president heard this man say the following words: "O thou chief executive who art in the White House, thou in whom so much doth constitutionally dwell, upon whose desk hath been placed a most efficacious blotter, incline thine ear toward thy humble citizen, and grant that thy many entities may be manifoldly endowed upon the fruitful plain, and may thou dost hearkeneth, whatly didst thou evermore in twain asunder." The president interrupted, "Excuse me, sir, but what?" "Goodbye," the man in the tuxedo said as he walked out. The president sighed. "Next, please." This time when the door opened, there seemed to be no one there. But as he looked down, he saw a man crawling through the door on his hands and knees. "Oh, great and awful president, I am but a disgusting piece of filth in your presence. No less than that. How dare I think that you would ever entertain my needs or desires or do anything but grind me into the floor." The president said, "Sir, please get up. You don't have to do that. I want to talk to you." But the frightened man said, "I deserve to be squashed under the weight of your mighty desk. How could you ever forgive me for breaking into your presence like this? Oh, I'm so sorry." Still on his hands and knees, he turned and went out, his groanings fading as he went down the hall. "President SMH, shaking my head." And he called for the next person. In moments, a young man entered. He was wearing headphones connecting to his iPhone. His head was bobbing up and down to the music, and he noticed the president and said, "Hey, Prez, what's up? Nice crib you got here. Hey, I'm like so glad we could have this little chat, you know? You're not bad for an old dude, I guess. Hey, you don't bother me, and I won't bother you. Well, I got to bounce. I'll catch you later." And with that, he walked out. The president drummed his fingers on his desk, getting weary. "Next, please. An elderly man marched in, staring at a piece of paper in his hand. Mr. President, I want there to be a parking place waiting for me when I go downtown this afternoon. Not the kind you have to back into, but the kind you can drive right into. Not with a parking meter, but a free one. And another thing, I lost my best golf club. It's a putter. Can't remember where I put it. Now, if you'll find it for me, I have a big game this Saturday. I know you can do it. Goodbye. And he turned and walked away. President, now slumping in his chair, said, next. There was a pause. And at last, a young woman entered slowly, and she looked like a sleepwalker. Eyes nearly shut, jaw slack, feet dragging. She yawned as she slid into the chair. Dear Mr. President, I know I should talk to you some more. So sleepy. Can't keep my so many things to say. The president buzzed the secretary, could somebody come in and remove this woman? President gazed sadly out the window, buzzing his assistant. He said, how many do we have left? She said, I'm sorry, sir, but as usual, the most people that you sent the invitation to were too busy to accept. They had to watch TV, wash the car, do the dishes. You know the drill. He said, isn't there anyone out there? She said, well, yes, there is one, sir, but you might not want to talk to him. He said, well, why not? She said, well, he's just a little child. He said, send him in immediately. I want to know everything there is to know. I want to talk to this child. Moments later, a little boy entered shyly into the room. He looked around the room, his eyes wide open. Wow! Is this really the Oval Office? The president said, yes, it is. He said, are you really the president of the whole United States? He said, yes, I am. President of the whole United States. He said, wow. And he just looked at the president and smiled. And the president waited for a minute and he just smiled back. And after about a minute of smiling each other, the president finally said, is there something that you want? Is there anything you would like to ask me? And the little boy said, oh yeah, I guess so. I would just like to say this. Thank you for inviting me into the Oval Office. I'm so glad I could be here with you. When the president heard that, it seemed like he couldn't say anything for a few minutes. All he could do was smile. And then they started to talk, and they talked and talked and had the longest conversation about everything you could imagine. And at the end, they hugged and they said they had had the most wonderful time. And it was then that the president remembered what was so great about being the president. It was getting time to help people. Worship is an enjoyment of God's presence. When we go into God's presence and all of his mighty power and everything that he is and everything that he can do, and to sense his love and to sense his care for us is the most wonderful thing. There is nothing in life more wonderful than the wonder of worshiping Jesus and being in his presence. I want to challenge you to be a worshiper. Don't get caught up in religion. Don't be distracted in the busyness of life. Don't treat God like he's your butler Treat him like he's your father, the best friend that you've ever had, because he loves you and he wants to connect with you. See worship as your way of not formalizing your life, but of enriching your life by knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads today? I want to pray for us. Let's all move closer to God. Let's all be responsive to him. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for this very special season and for how faithful you are in all the seasons of life. Thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence, Lord. When we're sad, when we have needs, or when we just want to be with you, Lord, I pray that you would increase our responsiveness to you. Increase our enjoyment of your presence, Lord. Let all the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. I pray that you would bless every family, every person, every man, woman, every child listening to my voice and draw them close to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Would you just keep your heads bowed? If you're listening online or you're there in the cafe or here in the auditorium, this is a moment that I just want to be sure you're really connecting with God. It's easy to lose connection. It's easy to become disengaged, distracted. More than anything, I pray that you would connect with God in a loving way right now. And if you're here today and you can say, honestly, Pastor, I don't think that's where I'm at. I don't think I'm connected to God. I'd like to be. But something has happened in my life. I drifted. I walked away. I just haven't been interested in God. I don't know him, but I want to. I'd like to pray for you because I believe your story can change today. It can move from you doing it by yourself and on your own, in sin, lost, hopeless, to a different thing. It can move to, I know God. I know he's with me. My sins are forgiven. I have a new life. If you'd like that to happen, it can happen. Jesus himself said, whoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son does not have life. It's all in knowing Jesus. And I want to pray for some people here today that I would never embarrass, but you're here and his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're saying, man, that's me. It's time for me to give my life to Christ. If that's you, just slip up your hand because I want to pray for you. Wherever you are, if you're in the cafe or here in the auditorium, I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you for that. I just want to give it a minute because it's such an important moment. Don't disconnect with God. Just allow God to touch you. In the first service, we had 10 hands raised. It was beautiful. Visitors coming to know Jesus. If that's you, just say, Pastor, pray for me. Wherever you are, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. All right, I'm going to pray. Thank you. Now, Lord, I pray for those that are lifting their hands, and I pray for all people, Lord, to come to know you. I ask you to do a miracle in their lives, transform them, and work powerfully in the spirit part of their life to change them and give them a brand new life, to wash away their sins and connect them forever with heaven and with the love of God. Thank you for doing this, Lord. Give them the power of the Holy Spirit, a real gift of a changed life this Christmas. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Now everybody just take a minute, look at me. I'd like to say a prayer with the people that raised their hands, and even if you didn't raise your hand, but you kind of feel like this is for you, we all like to say this prayer together. Now for those of you that raised your hands, there's a card in the chair right in front of you. I would love to get some feedback from you today. I would love for you to let me know, using that card, I've decided to follow Christ. You take a minute and fill that out and say, that's me. I want to get connected here. I want to find out what this is all about. You get that information and drop it into the offering. We're going to receive our offering in just a minute. You can drop that in. If you're new in the church, I'd love to get your feedback too. Thank you for being here. That connection is very important to me. So take a minute, fill that card out. But we're going to say a prayer together, and then we're going to worship the Lord and bring our tithes and offerings. Let's put that prayer up on the screen, and I'd like to invite everyone that can hear my voice to pray with me this prayer. If you've been saved forever, or if you're just giving your heart to the Lord today, Let's all pray together, can we? Here we go. Father God, thank you for loving me and calling me into your presence. Thank you that I can come in every time through the blood of Jesus. I ask you to fill this Christmas and all of my life with the wonder of worshiping you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there were three hands that were raised in this room that I could see. I think we ought to let them know what an awesome, outstanding, amazing thing that was. I tell you, that's what we live for. We live to see people connecting with God. That's what this church is all about. Ushers, if you'll come, if you'll serve the people as Pastor Nicole and the worship team minister in song, let's remain together for a few more minutes. I'll come back and say a closing blessing over all of us. Thank you for your giving, and thank you for being here today.
Hallelujah. This is a new song. It goes like this.
Stand together in God's presence. I'd like to just speak a blessing on you. I want to invite our prayer ministers to come, a few of our elders, our intercessors, pastors, whatever we can get up here. Because the power of a connection, I want to offer you a connection, a quick connection of prayer. My car wouldn't start the other day. I waited an hour for AAA to come, and in 3 seconds after the connection, it started. You know, they put the cables on and boom, you're back in business. Sometimes you just need a little jump start of healing for your marriage or whatever it is. If you need prayer today, that's what these guys are up here to help you with. And it'll just take a minute. It could be a big deal for you, get you kind of rolling again. So thank you, prayer team. Thank you, worship team, for a great service. Hasn't this been a wonderful time together? If we don't see you on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, Kathy and I want to wish you personally, on behalf of all of our pastors, we want to wish you an awesome, incredible Christmas. I hope I see you, but whatever you do, wherever you go, be blessed, all right? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me just bless you. Father, may your face shine upon your people. May it be so real that they will absolutely sense and know your nearness. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the healing of our bodies. Thank you that you are working out your plans in our lives. Thank you that we're not in a dead religion, but a living relationship with Jesus Christ. May your face shine upon your people big time. Bless their families, Lord. Bless their gatherings this week. Keep everyone safe and happy and strong. And Lord, in those moments when we can choose to freak out or to trust you, let our choice be to trust you every time. Through Christ we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. Shake hands with somebody. If you need prayer, join us here at the front. And
we pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our